वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 11 चैप्टर 6 टाइटल The Yadu dynasty retires to Prabhas. And verse number is 20. Shri Badarayani Ruvacha.
Iti Abhishtaya Vibhutai. Shesha Shata Dhridhir Harim. Abhyapasada Govindam. प्रणम्यांबरम आश्रिता श्री बादरायणी उवाच इत्यभीष्टया विबुधै शेषाशता धृदिर्हरिम् अभ्यपासता गोविंदम् प्रणम्यांबरम आश्रिता श्री बादरायणी उवाच इत्यभीष्टया विबुधै एषा सदा धृदिर्हरिम् अभ्यपाशता गोविन्दम् प्रणम्याम्बरमाश्रिता
वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन श्री बादरायणी उवाच
Shri
Sukadeva
Goswami said,
Iti,
thus,
Afishtuya,
praising,
Vibhutai, along with all the demigods,
Sa
Ishai, and also Lord Shiva,
Shadadhriti,
Lord Brahma,
Harim,
the Supreme Lord,
Abhyabhashata
spoke
Govindam
to Govinda
Pranamya
offering obeisances
Ambaram
in the sky
Ashrita
situated.
Translation
Sri Sukadeva Goswami continued After Brahma along with Lord Shiva and other demigods thus offered prayers to the Lord To the Supreme Lord Govinda, Lord Brahma situated himself in the sky and addressed the Lord as follows. Next verse is Shri Brahma Vacha
Bhume Bhavarthaya Pura Vijnabhita Prabho Tum Asmavir Asheshatman Tat Tathaiva Tathaivo Papaditam.
Lord Brahma said, My dear Lord, previously we requested you to remove the burden of the earth. O unlimited personality of Godhead, that request has certainly been fulfilled. Purport by servants of His Divine Grace, Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Lord Krishna might have said to the demigods, Actually, you requested Kshirodakshaya Vishnu to come down. So, why are you saying that you have requested me? After all, I am Govinda. Therefore, Brahma has addressed the Lord here as Asheshatma, or the unlimited personality of Godhead, from whom all plenary expansions of Lord Vishnu emanate. This is the opinion of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. I'll just read continue, few more verses. Text 22.
Dharmascha stavida shastu Sasya Tateshu Vaitvaya Kridhischa Dikshu Vikshipta Sarvaloka Malapaha
Translation My Lord, you have re-established the principles of religion among pious men who are always firmly bound to the truth. You have also distributed your glories all over the world and thus the whole world has been purified by hearing about you.
It's no purport, I'll go to the next. Text 23.
Avatirya yador vamshe bipradruvam anuttamam kramanya
उत्थाम वृत्तिम हिताय जगतो कृता जगतो कृता.
Descending into the dynasty of King Yadu, you have manifested your unique transcendental form, and for the benefit of entire universe, you have executed magnanimous transcendental activities. Text 24.
Yani te charita nisha manushya sadhava kalau shrinvanda kirtayandascha tarishyanti ajnasa tamaha.
My dear Lord, those pious and saintly persons who in the age of Kali hear about your transcendental activities and also glorify them will easily cross over the darkness of the age. Purport. Unfortunately, in Kali Yuga, many persons are not attracted to the authorized Vedic literatures. Minimizing the transcendental process of hearing and chanting the glories of the personality of Godhead, they prefer to listen to useless and whimsical vibrations on the radio and television, in newspapers and magazines, and so on. Rather than hear about Krishna from the bona fide spiritual master, they endlessly give their own opinion about everything until they are dragged away by the force of time. After studying the temporary limited form of the material world, they impatiently conclude that the absolute truth is formless. Such persons are actually worshipping Krishna's illusory energy, Maya, who has been authorized to kick their stubborn heads. If instead people hear directly about Krishna from the bona fide sources, they will very easily solve all the problems of their lives. In Kali Yuga, people are constantly suffering from many psychological, social, economic, historical, political and existential problems. But all these nightmarish problems can be removed as soon as one awakens to the transcendental reality of the personality of Godhead, who is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge and beyond the bewildering manifestations of the material energy. The Lord appears within the universe so that people can observe, hear about and glorify His actual activities. In this difficult age of Kali, we should all seriously take advantage of this opportunity.
Om Ajnana Timiranthasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katamahyam Datati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Raghunadhanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Sapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kriba Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. First of all, I would like to apologize myself because I was pushed into here with a very short notice, so I couldn't really prepare for anything. So we had to see how it goes. Thank you. Hare Krishna. So here we were seeing so far many verses describing the prayers of demigods. Demigods are not ordinary personalities. They have higher consciousness, of course, than normal human beings who are in the middle planets. They have higher understanding about the supreme truth. They have done a lot of pious activities to come to their position. And now, in Bhagavatam, there are different places in which the demigods are offering their prayers. Many places. One is initially when Lord Brahma, he came out from the lotus flower from Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. First of all, he started praying for creation. Then there is nice description of how he saw Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Also, there are several other places. One striking example is in 10th canto, when Krishna was in the womb of Mother Devaki, all the demigods assembled and they also offered their prayers. It's called Garbhastuti, because those prayers are most wonderful, very amazingly describing the transcendental qualities and a bit of activities of Krishna. Then we see again Lord Brahma in the 14th chapter of the 10th canto, nicely glorifying Krishna. So there are several places in Bhagavatam, there are many more, but I can only remember a few like this. And now in the 11th canto, here also we see how Lord Brahma, along with all the demigods, are praying to the Supreme Lord, how they are glorifying. So this is the system. If there is any problem in the material affairs, the demigods, who are the controllers of the material affairs of the world, they go to Lord Vishnu and they request, and the Lord reciprocates. So when devotees pray to the Supreme Lord, he reciprocates. So this is the system always. So for instance, when Lord Brahma initially requested, he prayed because he didn't know how to create the whole material creation. He didn't have any clue. Then he got this word, sapa, to perform austerities. So when he performed austerities in service of the Supreme Lord, as reciprocation, he got the intelligence to create the whole cosmic manifestation. And then we see how he saw the Supreme Lord. He got the vision of the Supreme Lord in the form of Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who is a plenary portion of Krishna. A partial, as it is said, Ete Chamsa Kala Pumsa Krishnasu Bhagavan Swayam. Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam. But he has got Amsha and he has got Kala. Amsha is his plenary portion and Kala is part of his plenary portion. So Krishna has got this expansion and the expansions coming out of the first generation of expansions. So many expansions are there for the Supreme Lord. And in one of the form as Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, when he was present in front of Lord Brahma, Lord Brahma started, he was actually amazed. He said, actually he was thinking, it is like when we see the Supreme Lord in the form of opulence, it is completely different. You may have seen big mountains. Have anyone seen big mountains? And you stand quite a little bit distant away from the mountain and have a look. You will feel we are so insignificant in front of the mountain. So huge. Say, if the mountain is nice green decorated, lot of trees. Suppose there are a lot of waterfalls. It's so beautiful. We look at the mountain, we see, we are so insignificant. It's like if you go to Himalaya, if you see the snow mountain, if you see the huge mountain and if you are standing from a distance, we see, what is this? It's just awesome. This is the way the Lord Brahma compared the Supreme Lord. He said, Prekshaam Kshibantam Harido Baladre Sandhyapranive Ririrukma Murthna Ratna Udadha Raushadi Saumanasya Vanastrajo Venu Bhujankri Pankre. He said, think of a mountain which is huge and there are lot of deposits of ratna, lot of jewels decorating that mountain, which is on the top of the mountain. And the whole mountain is covered with greenery. And there are lot of reservoirs of water. Then he says, and the sky that is covering or is surrounding the mountain is just like sandhya. It's like the evening time. The twilight is coming. So it is a beautiful scene. And also there are a lot of herbs, aushadhi, in the mountain. So Lord Brahma says, this the Lord, when I see him in the form as Garbhodak Shai Vishnu, he is just like, he's not just like this mountain, but the beauty of the Lord is just deriding the beauty of this mountain. So this is actually a comparison between the material beauty and the spiritual beauty. So Lord Brahma gets this realization. He says, this the Supreme Lord is so amazing. And also his beauty and his form is so big. It's actually Garbhodak Shai Vishnu is huge. He says in the next verse, he is just going down in that he is just filling the whole three worlds. It's like that big. Then Lord Brahma continues in third canto, describing the Garbhodak Shai Vishnu. He says, Mukhena lokarti harasmitena parispura kundala mandidena shonayitena adhara bimba bhasa pratyahendam sunasena subrapa. He says, the Lord's smile, it has a speciality, he says. He says, that smile, it's actually reciprocating the devotion, the prayers of his devotees. So Lord Brahma is looking at the Lord and this is his realization. He is saying his beauty. Mukhena lokarti harasmitena. And that smile can remove all the problems of the material world. He says, Mukhena lokarti harasmitena. And also, he is beautifully decorated. Parispura kundala mantitena. So the same Lord Brahma, he could appreciate the Supreme Lord's beauty in this huge, gigantic form as Garbhodak Shai Vishnu. However, when he had a vision of Krishna, later we see in the 10th canto, he couldn't really recognize him. He couldn't really understand. He saw the Supreme Lord straight out of the causeless mercy of the Supreme Lord. He could see him by his own eyes. Still, he couldn't recognize. He was thinking, who is this boy? Is he my Supreme Lord? I have already seen him. I have already seen his opulence. He is so huge. He has got so much of jewelry. That also it is very valuable. And he has got four arms. And now, what I am seeing? I am seeing just a little cowherd boy in the village of Vrindavan along with quite a few cowherd boys. And he is also acting just like a cowherd boy. He must be a cowherd boy. He cannot be my Lord. And what Krishna was doing? He was just playing. He went on a picnic along with his friends. And just a few, his one hand, he was eating with his left hand. He had some yogurt and some rice. That's all he had, and he was just eating like this. So seeing this, Lord Brahma got bewildered. But it is said, as a devotee, actually a very elevated devotee, he didn't get bewildered by the Mahamaya or the external energy of the Supreme Lord. Rather, he got bewildered by the internal potency. The internal potency of, that is the Yogamaya potency of Krishna. Just like Arjun. Arjun was not really influenced by Mahamaya, strictly speaking. He was influenced by the Yogamaya potency of Krishna, because Arjuna is a pure devotee, and by the will of the Supreme Lord, he came under illusion, so that the whole Bhagavad Gita can be spoken. In case of Brahma, again he got bewildered, and he tried to, the story is very well known, is he tried to steal all the calves and the cowherd boys, and he thought he had stolen everything, but actually he couldn't. He couldn't. And he stole, and when he came back, he saw the whole full expansion. The whole cowherd boys were there, all calves were there, everyone was there, and all the Leela was going on as usual, because Krishna expanded himself. And then he again had a vision of Krishna. So when he saw that all the expansions are coming out of Krishna, because he could see all the Vishnumurtis, the 400 forms of Krishna are coming from Krishna. All the Vishnumurtis were coming from Krishna. Having seen this, he understood this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then again he started praying. So that is the first verse starting from 14th chapter of 10th canto. That is again the prayers of Lord Brahma. So in the prayers he says, he could understand who is the Supreme Lord Krishna. He says, Navmityate Abhravabhushe Tadidambaraya Gunjavatam Sabaribichala Sanmukhaya Vanyastraje Kavalavetra Vishana Venu Lakshmashriye Mridupade Pashupangajaya. He says, first of all he says, Navmityate, I just pay my obeisances unto you. It is said he was just falling down completely. He was just trying to, he has got four heads and the whole helmets were touching on the ground. So one helmet was touching the ground and it was, you know, smashing the ground and making some noise. And with the other head he was trying to look at upon Krishna. So he was having a simultaneous two visions. One is he's looking at the feet of Krishna, and on the other side he was looking at Krishna. And then he started praying. He started saying, Now Vidyate, okay. Idyate means you are the most worshipable one. Actually, everyone who was supposed to worship, ultimate object of worship, it is you. There is nobody else. And Tadidambaraya, that is your dress, your garment is, it's like a, you know, lightning. It is yellow, as yellowish as the lightning. It is as bright as the lightning. And Gunjavatam. And also you wear gunja earrings. So earrings made of gunja. So gunja berries. He has got earrings also. And in one sense it is shocking, because we see his form, in Vishnu form, he is having all the opulent ornaments, which as I said, you know, the value of ornaments of the Supreme Lord, of course it is spiritual, it is unlimited. You can't actually describe the value. And now Lord Brahma is seeing in front of him the Supreme Lord, his master, and he is having gunjavatam, the earring which is made of gunja berries, you know, it's just small red berries, it's very hard. So he's made, sometimes people make, you know, garlands, you can see on Dhiraj, the gunja, the garland made of gunja. So in this case, here he had this gunjavatam. Then saparibicha lasan mukhaya. Saparibicha. Also he had paribicha. Paribicha means the peak of feather. So his hairs and his face was decorated with gunjavatam. Paribicha lasan mukhaya. And he saw the Srimukh, the lotus face, which is full of beauty. Then Brahma continues. He says, Vanyastraje. And also he has something which is very special, that is Vanyastraja, means the garland which is made of the flowers from the forest flowers, that is Vanyastraja. So he had a long garland. And now is a very interesting aspect of Krishna, what he is holding in his hands, which is quite unique, and it is quite different from even from other pastimes. Because Vishnu, there is, you know, he is always Shankha Chakra Gada Padmadhari. He has got his Shankha, he has got his conscience, he has got his Gada Padma. But here it's completely different. That is, he is saying Kavala Vetra Vishana Venu. So four items. I hope I can remember what are they. Kavala Vetra. One is the the stick which he is using to herd the cows. Then he has the bugle horn which he plays to call all the cows. Then Vishana Venu, okay, and also some yogurt and rice on his left hand. And fourth, he has Venu, that is the flute. So Krishna had, you know, there also, here also Krishna has four, in one sense, four ornaments compared to Vishnu, but completely different. And especially in this scene, it is totally different. You know, in other pastime, we won't see all the time Krishna with, you know, yogurt and the rice, you know, in his hand, and bugle and stick and flute. So all four, he had two hands, but he had four things. He managed to carry four things. Okay. And finally he said, Lakshma Shriye Mrudupade Pashupangajaya. Lakshma Shriye. Lakshma means, and you are characterized by Lakshma Shriye. Shri means, what is Shri? Lakshmi, that is one meaning. Second meaning is beauty. So Krishna was characterized by beauty. And one more thing, Lakshma Shriye Mrudupade. Mrudupada. Pada means the lot of feet. And the characteristics of this lot of feet is that it is mrudu. It's very soft. So his lot of feet is very soft in one sense, but at the same time it is very strong also. Like even we see in the 10th canto, Krishna was a baby and he was just lying. And what happened? There was this car demon, the Shakatasur. He just moved his leg, you know, just flipped like this. But the whole demon was completely collapsed. And Trinavarta, he was, you know, picking him up. He was lighter than the lightest, so he could go up. But after that he became heavier than the heaviest. So in the same way, the lotus feet is like that. It is very soft, at the same time, very hard. So it depends what we want. Heavy side or the soft side. Both are available. Free. Not free, you have to work for both. Maybe. So that is the characteristics Lord Brahma describes. Then Lord Brahma continues. Not only that, he makes a point. Okay, you are present in front of me. And I saw your pastime as a cowherd boy. Okay? Still, I couldn't understand what's going on. So Lord Brahma says, you know, I couldn't understand. And Lord Brahma says, now you are present in front of me. And both of my eyes, I am seeing, not both of my eyes, how many heads he has got? Four, so maybe eight. He's managing to see Lord Krishna with eight of his eyes. And I am seeing you in front of me directly, but I can't understand your form. So even though Lord Brahma is giving a description of the form of Krishna, he's making this point, I can't really understand, I can't really conceive your form, even though you are directly in front of me. Then he says, so I can't, in front of me you are there, apparently I am seeing you, still I can't conceive your form. Then how am I supposed to understand your pastime? So Lord Brahma is making this point, please don't misunderstand me for committing this offense. I know it's a great offense. Still, please don't curse me or, you know, harm me in any way, because I am seeing your form, I am describing your beauty, still I can't really conceive you. Then how can I conceive your pastime? Because as we understand it, is the progression is, you know, from name to form to qualities to pastime. So that is the progression. So Brahma is making this point, form is visible in front of me, still I can't really understand your pastime. And here in the 11th canto, it's almost coming to the end of Bhagavatam. So here the demigods are actually praying and they are glorifying the Supreme Lord for being coming to this material world, enacting their pastime. And it's not just pastime for the demigods, because for the demigods there are a lot of enemies, there are a lot of demons, and they are disrupting the material affairs of this universe. So in terms of demigods, they want all these demons to be subdued. So that is the purpose of, one of the purpose of appearance of Krishna. So here it is said, okay, The demigods are thanking, okay, you have actually removed all the burden of the earth. O unlimited personality of Godhead, that request has certainly been fulfilled. Because they are very happy now. So Brahma is saying, okay, you have successfully done your mission. It is fine. Now you may go back in that, you know, that is ending us, you know, finishing the pastimes here. And he said, you have manifested your unique transcendental form, and from the benefit of the entire universe, you have executed magnanimous transcendental activities. So, this is a very interesting point. Why Krishna has to come in his original form? There is one purpose. Okay, of course, he has to kill the demons, but at the same time, he has to protect the devotees. He has to give association to the devotees, as it is said, Paritranaya sadhuna vinashayacha dushkritam dharma samsthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So it is said the actual reason for appearance of the Supreme Lord is to give association to his devotees, who knows, pure devotees, who knows no one but Krishna as the Supreme Lord. And as far as the, you know, destruction of the demons or creating havoc, no big deal for Krishna, because he has got his material energy. He can work through them without any trouble. He can kill so many people. So many demons can be killed. You know, it's not a problem for him. Now we see, you know, so many kinds of problems in the material world. As it is said, dukhalayam ashashyatam. It is, you know, hell lot of problems here. You know, one tsunami, after that one Katrina, you know, forest fire, you know, earthquake, you know, so many, the series of problems in this world. So, to remove a few people from this earth planet or from the universe, it's not a big task for Krishna. It's just, you know, it's just minor. It's nothing. Nothing for him. For him, for this, he has his material energy. No problem. But as far as for the devotee who wants to see Krishna and to get their personal association and to see the pastimes, there is no other option for him than to come down. So he comes down. So it is said, Brahma again, you know, in the Brahma's prayer, it's very interesting in this context. He says about the Leela of the Supreme Lord. He says, Kovesi Bhuman Bhagavan Paratma Yogeshroji Bhavdastrilokyam Kava Kadamva Kadiva Kadeti Vistarein Kridati Yogamaya. He says, look, you are the Supreme Lord. You are situated in everyone's heart as Paramatma. You are the Yogeshwar. You are the object of yoga and the master of yoga. But, you know, it is not possible to understand really why you come. How do you come in this world? And how you enact your pastimes? Because you expand yourself. And by your yogamaya potency, and you enact the whole pastimes. So, he's saying, no, I can't understand. So this is the position of Brahma. Brahma means he is completely in intelligence. He is the most intelligent being. Because he could create, you know, small mosquitoes. It's a big thing actually. Can we create a small mosquito? No. We have done, you know, so much of scientific endeavor has been done for so many years, so many decades. We can have airplane, but no mosquito. You know, very difficult. Because mosquito has got much features than an aeroplane, isn't it? It can reproduce, you know, it can give you a hard time, you know, and it can multiply and so many. So, you know, mosquitoes are much higher being, you know, in one sense than aeroplane. So we can create aeroplanes, satellites, but no mosquitoes. So Brahma has created mosquitoes. Okay, so that is Brahma's energy. So we can understand what is the potency of Lord Brahma. He is the secondary creator, the universal engineer. Our engineering skills are, you know, nowhere. We can do so many degrees, still skills are very, very limited. We can't help, sorry. You know, it's like, what was that? The one of the satellites, just reading a month back, Phoenix. Did anyone read about Phoenix? Yeah, Phoenix went up to Mars. Supposedly to Mars, yeah. And the mission was, it was an unmanned the satellite, and it's not a satellite, it's a space shuttle, and it landed, as I suppose it landed on Mars, and the whole mission was, they had to conduct get some soil samples and do some experiments. So the whole thing was controlled from here, from on earth. So, and because it was unmanned. And he reached there successfully, but there was an issue. The issue was they could grab some soil. First of all, grabbing soil was a bit of difficult because it was a bit harder than they thought about, because everything is based on speculation. So, you know, no wonder it was a bit hard. Anyway, they got some soil. And after that, they were trying to put through the a colander kind of thing, a grill. And finally, it would go to the oven. And yes, they had heated up to, more than 1000 degrees Celsius, and then do some experiments. So this was the initial plan. So in one go, it didn't work. They were trying really hard. The issue was, the Phoenix had only 6 months of lifespan. For 6 months in Mars, 6 months it is, you know, you can see daylight and the light from the sun is coming. After that, it is dark. So, since the Phoenix is completely operated by solar light, solar energy, so once that period is over, you can't do anything. You know, just, you know, the whole mission, few billion dollars, finished. So everyone was worried, you know, what's going on. So finally, they tried to shake the colander, and you know, somehow, we want to get some soil. So the whole mission is few billion dollars to get some soil. And to heat it up. Okay, we can heat the soil here, so much soil is there, but heat the soil there and do some experiments. Okay, it went on for some time. Finally, you know, I read the newspaper, the report I read was, they were mentioning, you know, it is called very, very, very expensive mistake. The title of the article was expensive mistake. Because they could do everything, but, you know, finally, you know, there is some problem. So this is the problem. This is our engineering skills. So Brahma is greatest, so his intelligence is much higher. And he has got a body, he has got a subtle body, which is made of intelligence. So his, the whole components, everything is intelligence. You know, we may have a little bit of intelligence, we may have, but for him, everything is intelligence. So by his intelligence, he does the whole creation. Having so much of intelligence, he tried to understand Krishna. And also Krishna is in front of him. It's not that, reading Bhagavatam he tried to understand Krishna. No. He could see Krishna face to face. Still, he was finding it so difficult. He was saying, oh, no, I can't understand. He's saying, in Bhagavad, Brahma Samhita, you know, Leela Aitena, Jagatani Jagatya Jastram. That is, you know, you actually perform this manifestation, these pastimes, just to attract all these living entities. And in the human form of life, one can get attracted to the human-like form of Krishna. That is one of the biggest advantage of human form of life. That is, since Krishna is also looking like us, or we are looking like Krishna in one sense, then one can get attracted to the human-like pastimes of the Supreme Lord. The pastimes of the cowherd boys, the pastimes of the gopis, the pastimes of parents, all this becomes quite attractive. Because we also have got that kind of relation. So one can relate to that. So that is the mercy of the Lord. And now here it is further explained. That is, persons who in the age of Kali hear about your transcendental activities and also glorify them will easily cross over the darkness of the age. So 11th canto is very interesting. Because 11th canto there are many verses glorifying the age of Kali. Usually it is said the age of Kali is, you know, it is the worst if you consider in terms of piety and the severity of performances of devotional service. Satya, Treta and Dwapara Yuga are much, much better. And the age of Kali is, you know, Kaler Doshanithe Rajan, as it is said. You know, it's a Doshanithi. It's an ocean of mercy. Sorry, not mercy. There is mercy as well. The ocean of sins. Still there is mercy. So, we read, I think the last chapter, one of the feature of the age of Kali, glorification of Kali. There are few, one is, as I mentioned earlier, that is Kalaya Doshanithe Rajan, Astihi Eka Mahan Guna, Kes Kirtanadeva Krishnasya Mukta Sangaparam Rajayet. That is, in this age, even though this is an ocean of sins, it's like, you know, there is a conversation going on between Shukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Parishit. So it is only, in 12th canto, there is only bad things about Kali. You know, everything bad. and the descriptions are very horrible. So, you know, Parikshit Maharaj is actually wondering, you know, is there anything good? You know, you said, you know, everything bad, there is nothing good. So, tell something good. So, Shukadeva Goswami then concludes, he says, Kaya Dosha Nithya Rajan, Asti Eka Mahan Guna. So, that Eka is very important. Eka means one. So, only one good quality. Don't think that we have got many good qualities. One good quality is there in this age of Kali. That is Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Parampraje. That is just by chanting the holy names of Krishna, one can go back home, back to Godhead. It is said Vraje, this also means to the Vrajdham, to Golok Vrindavan. So only one good quality, not many. The people think, you know, there are many good qualities, you know. We have, you know, such nice city, Melbourne is good, you know, the casino is there, Yarra River is there, nice trams, trains, whatever, you know, there are so many things. We have nice education, so everything is good. But no, only one good quality, that is Kirtana Deva Krishnasya. That's all. So similarly, 11th canto, there is another verse. It is also said, in Kali Yuga, all whatever is achieved, whatever benefit one is achieved in other three ages, that is the Satya, Treta, Gudapar, whatever one is achieved, everything is achieved just by chanting holy names of Krishna. That's all, you know, everything. Because Kali Yuga is terrible, you know. As I was hearing one, you know, kind of joke, you know, in previous age, you know, when some guests come, it is said, you know, in the Satya Yuga, you know, Treta Yuga, when somebody comes to your home, people say, you know, Suswagatam, you know. In Suswagatam means, you know, oh, most welcome, most auspicious welcome. You come, you know, welcome everyone, you know. And, you know, as time progressed, you know, it is just, in Dwapara Yuga, people used to say, you know, Atithi Devo Bhava. What is the meaning? Atithi. The guest is should be treated just like the demigods. Now, so much of nice treatment. But in the age of Kali, if somebody, you know, comes home, we go, you know, some home, we'll see a big sign, you know, beware of dogs, you know. That is the kind of treatment, you know, we get. So that is the age of Kali. So we can understand, okay, yes, we are in the age of Kali. But, you know, some one good quality is there. So in the age of Kali, people, no understanding, very difficult. Even if you talk about Krishna, very difficult to understand. It is the thickness of ignorance is very high. To penetrate, there is a lot of difficulty. If you meet just, if somebody from India, if you ask, you know, about Krishna, oh no, you know, he's not really God, you know, he's just, you know, roaming around with so many women and, you know, what is this, you know. No proper understanding whatsoever. And people can become offensive also regarding the Supreme Lord because of misunderstanding. So we have to give real knowledge. We have to give real knowledge. That is the aim of preaching. Give real understanding. It doesn't mean we directly give the understanding directly the Ras Leela pastimes of Krishna directly, okay, come, you know, and straight away start from the 10th canto. No, we don't. We start from the basics. We explain, okay, we are not the body, we are the spirit soul. Start from there. We might have read Krishna book, we might have read 10th canto, but no, we don't speak directly on that level. We just start from the basics. Because otherwise one cannot understand the transcendental form, the transcendental qualities, the transcendental activities, even theoretically, what to speak about further. And here, I think it's very interestingly mentioned. So people are not talking about Krishna, rather people are talking about so many other things. Now if we see, we have got so many, you know, so much of technological advancement. It's not just here, it's mentioned radio and television. So we have progressed from there, you know, we have developed further. What we have got? Internet, yeah. Internet is a key thing, you know. Internet means web. It is a web of Maya. You know, who doesn't use it properly? It is a web of Maya, you know. You at home, you know, on your iMac, your palm top, you know, everywhere. Maya is there everywhere. When we say, you know, Maya is there everywhere, sometimes it's difficult to conceive, you know. How can you understand Maya? Maya everywhere? How is it possible? No, it's not difficult. You know, the internet is there everywhere. It means Maya is there everywhere. So that is the position. So one can be attacked at any point. So it is said, one has to take shelter of Krishna, to take shelter of association of devotees. So important, the association of devotees. That is also said, it is also like a net or a web. If somebody falls, if one is in the association of devotees, then there is a limit one can fall, because devotees will catch hold to at one level, you know. One may come down a bit, but still devotees will hold on to some level. So that is, the association of devotees also just like a net or a web. They can just, you know, catch you. It's like how devotees caught us, you know. You know, Krishna was merciful, you know, devotees came somehow or other and caught us, gave us the knowledge. So the essence of preaching is giving Krishna, explaining, helping others, and they are also suffering in this material world. So giving Krishna in one form or the other, you know, book distribution, prasadam, student preaching, college preaching, so many different ways one can give Krishna. And that is the eternal benefit. That is the eternal benefit one can give. So, as we progress, as we go about in our devotional life, it's not just about our sadhana, but we have to preach also. We have to give Krishna to others also. That is part of our sadhana. We have to do that also. And as far as path sadhana is concerned, Eka Mahanguna is very important. Eka, that part is the holy name. So one has to take shelter of holy name. So what is meant by taking shelter of holy name? Means one has to chant properly. That is said, as Upadeshamrita says, it is very difficult initially to chant. You know, initially there is no taste for chanting. Even when we started chanting, everyone has got this experience. It is so difficult to chant. Maybe you may come for Mangalarati, you may sit for chanting. You know, I came first time, you know, I sit for Mangalarati and, you know, started chanting. And I was feeling, you know, 8 rounds, it's like, you know, it's a so much, you know, the 8 rounds, I took almost 2 hours to chant 8 rounds, you know, 8 rounds. And I think, you know, it's so much, and it's, you know, it's too tedious. So that is the phase. It's so difficult even to chant 1 round initially. But through the association, when we progress, when we start chanting, then it becomes easier. So he said, Rupa Goswami says, this, the holy name of Krishna is actually very tasty. It is just like sugar candy. Very tasty. But because of avidya, what happens? It is just like we had this jaundice. If we have jaundice, there is one problem. Even if you give nice sweet, nice gulab jamun is in your mouth, still it tastes bitter. So Rupa Goswami says, it is our position. That even though this holy name of Krishna is just like very sweet, we feel it is very bitter, no taste. But he says, okay, but there is a solution. It's fine, it is bitter at this point, that's alright. The solution is, one has to chant carefully. He says, kintu adarat. Adarat means with lot of attention and with lot of care. One should chant the holy name. Then he says, sadvi kramad bhavati tadgata moola santri. That is, then the taste develops gradually. So it is not generally, you know, the on and off, you know, one day it is full of taste, or, you know, one day I didn't have any taste and one fine morning I got all the taste and from then onwards I have, you know, the sweet nectar of holy name is always coming. No. It is said kramena. Kramena means gradually. So the taste can develop little by little. First, one may have difficulty in chanting 1 round or 2 rounds or, you know, 4 or 8 or 16. Then it becomes easier. Of 16 rounds is easier, like that. So the taste, slight, the small taste we have, that develops very gradually. Why it develops? It's a moola hantri. Because it actually starts acting on the moola. It starts acting on the root. It starts acting on the root of the problem. It is not, you know, it's not the symptom, you know, it's not the curing the symptoms. It's like if you go to a doctor for fever is only a symptom of some disease. That is, that fever means some temperature for the body. So some temperature is only a symptom. The disease can be anything. In the same way, many processes can be cure the symptoms, but the root, what can actually solve? That is the chanting. So it is said moola hantri. That which can completely extinguish, completely remove, completely uproot the moola, the root of the problems. But we have to chant carefully. So that is also mentioned. It is not mentioned, you know, one has to chant somehow or other, but has to chant very carefully. Kintu adarat. So solution involves that careful chanting. So I think I should mention again regarding chanting again one more prayer by demigods. That is again the 10th canto. I think the second chapter. In the Karpasudhi, it is mentioned how it actually describes how one should chant. What should be the attention? How, you know, it's a heavy verse. It is said, Nirvutta Trishet Upagiyamana Bhavoshada Chotra Manobhirama Ka Uttama Shloka Gunanivada Puman Virajeta Vina Pashugna. So we want to tell the exact word to a translation. I don't know the exact translation. I can explain, but you want to tell the full translation? Okay, then I'll explain. I know he knows the word is a full in the exact, so I thought maybe, okay, anyway, it's alright. It is said, actually, one can glorify the Supreme Lord continuously if he is completely removed from the material contamination, the material lust, that is Nirvurta Tashir. Then one can glorify the Supreme Lord all the time. So it is said, and this holy name is placed just like Aushadhi, Bhava Aushadhi. It is a medicine, it is a medicine for the material existence. You know, it is said, for any disease there is a particular medicine that can cure the disease. So for this Bhava Aushadhi, Bhava means the ocean of material suffering, the ocean of material existence. The chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Aushadhi, is the medicine for our material existence. So he says one should take this medicine. And not just that, he says who can actually stop this hearing of holy names of Krishna? Who other than a butcher or a killer of a soul? So we can see in our unfortunate position in one sense, that is, we don't care, we don't even listen sometimes, you know, just chanting is going on, the lips is moving, the sound is coming, our mind is going somewhere else. You know, it's at least two tracks are running minimum. There can be more tracks, more thoughts can be there, but at least two tracks are there. That is chanting line and thoughts in another line, at least two. So this is our position. So it is said if one has to make progress, one has to chant very carefully. So yeah. I stop here. Thank you. Any comments, questions or correction? Okay, I think we need to have an announcement, it looks like.
Yeah.
Okay, so today is another very, very important day. That is, we are giving a farewell party to His Grace Kripasindhu Prabhu and Ayodhirani Mataji and Lasika. So, it's very, one sense it is quite sad for everyone because Prabhuji is leaving. But he is going for, you know, higher purpose, we can see. So we are having a farewell upstairs at 9 o'clock. What time will it be? At 9 o'clock. So after this, we can go. And also, yeah, Prabhuji is a good example. We were talking about preaching. Prabhuji is a good example for, and Mataji is a good example for preaching, good preachers. You know, they have influenced so many lives, you know, including me. So, and, you know, getting me chanting and, you know, to cultivating. So, for this experience many of you might have had. So it is wonderful that we are getting this opportunity to give him a farewell party. So we will all see upstairs after this. Okay. Thank you. Now by then any comments, questions or corrections? Yes, thank you. Yeah. Even before he came.
Like how they can be devotee of Krishna when he was not yet born.
Oh, okay, yeah. Because, say for instance, Narada Muni or, you know, Garga Muni, you know, they knew. They knew about Krishna. Because devotees, they get the means of understanding or the means of knowledge that is coming from Vedas. It's coming from Vedas. So how we understand about Krishna is through the descriptions in the Vedas and the Puranas. It need not be directly from the direct association of Krishna. Now also we don't have any direct association of Krishna. But we hear about Krishna through the scriptures. And one more point. And in previous ages, in for instance, many times it is mostly the worship of Vishnu that is prevalent. If we say the previous canto, then many of these worships are not worship of Krishna directly, but worship of Vishnu forms. But there are devotees who knows about Krishna. The close associates of Krishna, they know about Krishna. Narada Muni, he knew about Krishna. At the same time, he has association of Vishnu also, but he has understanding of Krishna. So the intimate devotees of Krishna, they know about Krishna even before coming. They know, they are awaiting Krishna's appearance, for instance. It's like, if you see Narada Muni, I think few millenniums back, when he cursed Nalakuvera and Manigriva, he mentioned, okay, he cursed Nalakuvera and Manigriva because of the nonsense behavior, being in front of Narada Muni in naked form. But when he cursed, he said, okay, you will get birth as two trees, the Yamalarjuna trees, but you will get the darshan of the Supreme Lord. So Narada Muni knew. So that is how they knew. Narada Muni, he has realization straight from Krishna. So Krishna reveals to such devotees. That is another way of understanding how, when Krishna appears. So Narada Muni, he understood before. Any points you would like to add? Okay. Yes, Prabhu.
Brahmaji is calling Krishna Asheshatma.
Asheshatma, yeah, that's very interesting. Yeah. Asheshatma or the unlimited personality of Godhead from whom all plenary expansions of Vishnu emanates. So it's very interesting because we were talking the past time of how Lord Brahma saw all these Vishnu murtis are coming from Krishna. So then I think he noted that point, and now in the 11th canto finally he's telling, yeah, you are Asheshatma. Okay, that's good. Nice point. Thank you. Okay, so any comments? Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.